Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What's up, family? Welcome to Speak. We have breaking news in the NFL world. Russell Wilson is no longer a Denver Bronco. Shocking. We'll get to the details here in a moment. That is James Jones on the far end. To his right, Joy Taylor. To my right, Eagles all-time rushing leader, LeSean Shady McCoy. The news literally occurred 5 minutes ago. The Denver Broncos put out a statement. Russell Wilson has put out a statement. And after less than 24 months in the organization, what might go down as one of the worst trades in the history of the National Football League, the Russell Wilson tenure in Denver, it has officially come to an end. Bring me on camera for this, because I want you all to realize just what this means. Now, Russell Wilson was traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Denver Broncos back in March of 2022. Seahawks gave up two first-round picks. The Broncos gave up two first-round picks. Broncos gave up two second-round picks. Russell Wilson had 2 years on his deal. Denver, however, chose to extend him. George Payton, he was the general manager. Nathaniel Hackett, he was the head coach. And the Broncos were in between owners. They had not yet acquired the Walmart ownership group. What the Denver Broncos chose to do was give Russell Wilson a five-year, $242 million deal. And less than 2 years later, Russell Wilson will no longer be a part of the Denver Broncos. Russell Wilson only has 11 wins to show for his $242 million deal. He only has 11 wins to show for his two-year tenure in Denver. A lot of people are at fault. I am not suggesting that Russell Wilson is all at fault. However, I am suggesting, James Jones, that Russell Wilson was compensated heavily. Ooh. And did not necessarily return the wins that his compensation would suggest he was due to deliver. Mm-hmm. Can we get a jib? I want to see everybody. Let's take the jib real quick. Mm. James, this is bad.
Yeah.
This is real bad.
Yes, it is.
This is terrible.
Yes,
it's about as ugly as it can get in the National Football League. Shady McCoy, Joy Taylor. Now, again, for a little bit of context, James, before you answer this one, the Denver Broncos will still owe Russell Wilson $39 million this coming season. However, they will save $37 million in 2025, and they will have an $80 million dead cap hit, $85 million we anticipate they will spread over the next 2 years. I don't want to bog y'all down with numbers, because this is about emotions at this point in time. James, who is at fault for maybe the worst trade in the history of the NFL, it panning out as the worst trade? Who's at fault for the Russell Wilson debacle in Denver?
I mean, I think everybody gets a little piece of the pie. You know, if Russ would have delivered some more wins, Russ would still be there. They paid him some really good money. I mean, you know, to be the quarterback for the Denver Broncos, when he came over there, they were a quarterback away. At least that's what we all thought. Really good defense, some solid players on the offensive side of the ball around Russell Wilson. That's all they needed to get to the playoffs and compete. That did not happen. Then you get Sean Payton coming in there. From the get-go, we knew that Russell Wilson was not the quarterback for Sean Payton. He made that clear with a lot of his comments, right? Russell Wilson goes out there and he plays fairly well, right? You ask him to take a pay cut or waive certain clauses in his contract, and he says no. That's on the coach, because you have a quarterback that was really playing solid in your system, you know, 1 year. 1 year under your system. But at the end of the day, it just was not Sean Payton's guy.
And James, then, pause. I know what happened.
Yeah.
Tell me why it happened. I could tell everybody about it. We can Google all the Sean Payton. But you played 9 years in the National Football League.
Yeah.
You won a Super Bowl. You've played with Aaron Rodgers. You've played at the highest level. You led the league in receiving touchdowns. So we can read what happened. I need you, James Jones, to tell me why it happened. Is it Russ? Is it Hackett? Is it Payton? Is it the Walton family as the ownership group? Is it Sean Payton as opposed to George Payton? Why? Why are we witnessing what might be the worst trade in the history of football?
Well, once again, my dog Acho, it's everybody. He gets a little piece of this pie, and it starts off with Russell Wilson. Like I said, if he would have delivered a couple more wins, we're not even in this situation. You know what I mean? But then he plays well. Like I'm telling you, he plays well, and you're just not Sean Payton's guy. There's nothing Russell Wilson could do about that. That's called the business of the National Football League, which is nothing he can do about it. If Sean Payton is sitting over there like ownership, we want to eat all this dead money, even though Russell Wilson played solid in my offense, then that's what they're willing to do. It's something that Russell Wilson has shown them that he is not the guy. But Russell could have eliminated all this if he would have went out there, not year one without Sean Payton under Hackett, or year two under Sean Payton with a couple more wins. All this would have been brushed under the rug if he would have won a couple more games.
Shady, you played a long time, big dog. You got a lot of money in your career. You've seen players come. You've seen players go. You've seen great trades. You've seen bad trades. You've been traded in the National Football League. Who's at fault?
I'm going to go with the Broncos. You know, they decided to go out there and trade for Russell Wilson, right? They decided to give him all that money. I think Russell, even when he was with the Seahawks, I thought he was a really, really good quarterback. But I never thought he was good enough to just win things by himself.
Yeah.
And you look at the Denver team, who they really have? The defense we thought was really, really good, we found they wasn't that good. Right? They played 70 points on them boys. That did happen in the real league. Okay, then they finally got together. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I mean, you see some all-pro players over there? Do you?
Not so, all-pro. Pro Bowl.
Right? They've been there. So my thing is when you asking this guy to come and save your franchise, yeah. There's only about 2-3 dudes that can do that in this league.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow.
Maybe, if he's healthy.
And Lamar Jackson. Like, you know, so everybody needs some help. And when you ask to give this dude, or you ask to trade him, you trade 2 first-rounders at that.
Yeesh.
Right? And then another thing I blame the Broncos for. He had 2 years on his contract.
Yeah.
So you say, you know, don't worry about that, Russ. We get that, get rid of that contract. We're going to give you a whole new one with a lot of money. Now you sit here owning a guy, $39 million. I'm not going to be there next year.
Mm-hmm.
So you ask me, whose fault is this? Got to be the Broncos. And then my last point, when you fired Nathaniel Hackett, right? Okay, it was a disaster. Let's get a new coach. Cool. We sat at the table. Now you got a quarterback you paid all this money to. Did you ask him about the coach you want to bring on staff? And then the coach that you're going to hire, you say, hey, how you feel about Russell Wilson as your quarterback for the next 3-4 years?
Yeah.
I know they didn't ask Sean Payton that. Because he made it so clear when he signed that contract, this is not my guy, this is not my man. Pause.
Mm.
Right? He might be here, he might not. Whoa, he got what's going on? I don't want that. He got a trailer in the building, he can't be here.
Yep.
He got his own parking spot, that can't be here.
Yep.
So it got to be the Broncos. Everything that y'all gave Russ, the coach I brought in to coaching, he took it all away.
Yeah.
And I think that if you had the process of interviewing all these coaches, you should have had a guy to listen. Because I love Sean Payton. Mm-hmm. We should have had a guy that's really okay with Russell Wilson for the next 3 years. Because now he's gone after 24 months.
Yeesh.
So I'm going with the Broncos.
Joy, this is huge. And I don't think I can state how big a deal this is. Growing up in Dallas, I always heard the worst trade in the history of football was a Herschel Walker trade. Jimmy Johnson, he traded Herschel Walker along with 4 draft picks in exchange for the Minnesota Vikings, 3 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks. Jimmy Johnson used those draft picks to help the Cowboys ultimately build a roster which would achieve 3 Super Bowls in the next 5 years. So growing up, I always heard the Herschel Walker trade, the Herschel Walker trade, the Herschel Walker trade. But now in the 2020 era, there will be Joy, the Russell Wilson trade. And you've covered sports longer than anybody sitting at this desk. So you have seen a lot of great ones and you have seen a lot of bad ones. But who is at fault for this one?
Ego.
Whose?
Everybody's ego. Let's go back to the beginning. Russell Wilson wanted out of Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
He made it very clear he did not want to be there. In fact, I don't want to be here, and here's places I'd like to go. There were rumors about him trying to get people fired who were in the building. So there's step one, ego. Now, the Broncos try to go and get Russell Wilson. They give up a lot. Egotistically, they think that is worth it.
Yeah.
And then do some more bad business in upping the deal when they didn't have to do that either. Then they egotistically bring in a first-time head coach, Nathaniel Hackett, to a situation where you have a legendary level player who's only played under one head coach his entire career, who was a defensive head coach.
Mm-hmm.
As Shady said, this is a guy who never really carried the team to wins, but played at a super high level in systems that were very functional. You're a quarterback away, but you're bringing in someone who doesn't know how to do this job yet. Egotistical move. Sometimes ego moves pay off. In this situation, they're going to have to make it rain for many years to solve this. Then you bring in Sean Payton, who comes with his own ego, earned for sure, but ego as well. And then this whole thing falls apart. Mm. It wasn't a disaster this year in Denver. It really, if year one hadn't happened for Russ the way that it did, we might not even look at the situation this year as bad.
No question.
Well, okay, Sean Payton's coming into a new situation, takes a little time to get things rolling. Him and Russ are still getting on the same page. If year one with the Broncos and Russ didn't happen, I don't even think we would have looked at the situation and said, maybe they underachieved a little bit, but we'll give them some time to get it rolling because we know what Russ is capable of and we know what Sean Payton is capable of. To me, it was year one. Year one was so bad that year two had to overcompensate for how bad year one was for the Sean Payton, Denver, Russell Wilson marriage to work. Because really zooming out, year two was not that bad. It wasn't great. It was underachieving. Yeah. But it wasn't a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
Outside of the 70-point performance, okay, outliers, no excuse for that. That's a disaster on everybody's plate. Fine. Let's just take that out. There was a stretch in the season where they were 6-1.
Mm-hmm. Good stretch. Beat some good teams.
So year one was so bad that he had to be so much better than that. Yeah. He had to remove all doubt whatsoever that not only he was capable of carrying them to wins, but he was going to look great in Sean Payton's system, and there would be it would look silly for us to be talking about this today. Because let's be serious. We talked about this last week. This was an inevitability.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're having this conversation today in reality, but search your spirit. You knew this was coming.
Yeah.
We
still shocking, though. Still shocking.
To
who? Not for me. I knew there was going to be a point this offseason where I was going to sit with the three of you and have this conversation. So I am mentally and emotionally prepared for this breakup. I've been going through this breakup longer than everyone else has, apparently. This is an inevitable outcome to me, and I think it's because of how bad year one was.
I blame so many people. I want to start with Nathaniel Hackett. The first person I want to start with is Nathaniel Hackett, the head coach Russell Wilson's rookie year in Denver, his first year in Denver, that is, because you don't get a second chance at a first impression. Joy summed it up perfectly. If Russ starts better in Denver, then this last year with Payton, it wouldn't have been as damning. It wouldn't have been as damaging. Russ had owed Denver so much because of how bad he was year one. There was no amount of debt that Russell Wilson could have paid off this year. No amount. He owed them way too much. The second thing I'll say, and this is really a life lesson, comparison is a thief of joy. Because where is Pete Carroll right now and where is Russell Wilson right now?
Oh,
both of them about to be unemployed.
They are.
Unemployed. Maybe the greatest coach in Seattle Seahawks history and maybe the greatest quarterback in Seattle Seahawks history. And less than 2 years after the breakup, they're both unemployed because they both thought they had it better without the other person. Comparison, just robbing their joy. Pete Carroll's one of the greatest we've ever seen coach at any level. Russell Wilson, one of the greatest we've seen of this generation, particularly as it pertains to winning. And now Russ about to be unemployed starting Friday, March 13th, or March 13th, whatever date that is on the calendar. And Pete Carroll unemployed as of the last 3 weeks. And y'all could have been together. And if not happy, y'all could have been successful. So the biggest point I've learned is that comparison really robbed these two of their joy because they could have been together doing their thing and now they both unemployed. Oh, that hurts my heart. Shady, Joy, James, let's talk Russ for a moment. Shady, starting with you, big dog. Does Russ still have anything left in the tank? He had a really bad year 2 years ago. Had a good year. Maybe a great year, if we're being honest. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions this past season. Only went 7-8, so that does matter. Matters a lot, most for me. I think quarterback is a winning statistic. But does Russ still got something in the tank?
I think so, right? I think it matters of what are you expecting? Are you expecting Russ to go out there and be an all-pro? I don't think that's going to happen. This is being honest. I don't think it's going to happen. But he could play at a Pro Bowl level because he's had. Even this year, like, they did beat the Packers, the playoff team. They beat the Cowboys.
Chiefs.
Right? They beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They beat the Bills.
Beat the Bills.
And they beat the Browns. So he had some good wins. And them wins, he made the difference.
Yes, he did.
He made some plays. So I think with the right team, I think Russ can be a good player. Sometimes, like, I look at players where, like, they've been so great and they had great moments that you look at them in that light. But that's not who they are. I look at Travis Kelce. He had a great year this year, right? But he had great moments. Now, obviously, him and Russ is way different, obviously. But I'm just speaking on when you look at Travis this year, it's like, yo, he got to be up here because he's been there for so long.
Yeah. But majority of this year, he wasn't up there. He was more down here. Mm-hmm. Playoffs, you've seen him back up there. So what I'm saying is that we look at Russ at this level, he's not there. He's not there no more. But he still can win right here because we see players win right here all the time.
That's a good point. That's a really
right?
good point.
So I just think that Russ, on a good team, solid defense, and some playmakers around him, I think Russ can be a good player in this league.
Yeah, you know what's crazy is winning, too, makes a player look a whole lot better than
True.
He is, too. Right? Because I remember sitting up here a couple months ago, and you broke down some stats of Russell Wilson. Like, we're talking bad about Russ, but his numbers this past year is the same numbers as Russ was in Seattle. But they were just winning with the Legion of Boom.
That's
so with
true.
Me, when you ask me, when I turn the tape on Russell Wilson this year, we had segments saying Russell Wilson, dangerous, fourth quarter, ball in his hands. He delivered this year on a couple drives, and we were like, is the old Russell Wilson back? I believe Russell Wilson really, besides last year, has never really left. This is him. Hmm. Winning was just covering up a lot of that in Seattle, but the same Russ was out there on the field. He just had a big-time defense in the Legion of Boom who was getting the job done. But numbers-wise, it's not far off. So if you ask me, is Russ done? No. I think Russ can get to a team. He should be on a plane right now, flying to practice at one of the high schools by himself because he's going to be making $39 million, whatever he do. Go to Pittsburgh. Be practicing at what's the high school?
Woodland
Hills High School. Go out there, practice, play for veteran minimum. You already make $39 million.
But, Joy, this is what gives me pause, and this is what gives me pause. Obviously, big fan of Russ. I know Russ well. I met Russ back in 2012 at a Senior Bowl, an all-star game when we were both graduating college. But what gives me pause is how good is Russell Wilson really? Shady said, well, Russ can still win with a really good team around him, a good defense, really good playmakers. Well, I believe that most NFL-capable quarterbacks should be able to win with all that. We pay you $124 million over the last 2 years to win without some of that. No. That's why they're paying you $124 million over the last 2 years. That's why they gave you $242.5 million over 5 years for an extension that didn't need to be signed. James brought up a really good point, Joy. James said, well, Russell Wilson played this year like he played in Seattle. I agree. I'm the one who built the full screen. But they didn't get the wins. Mm-hmm. Russ won Joy Taylor with the Legion of Boom, the greatest defense I ever saw on a football field while I was also on a football field. Not the greatest defense I've ever seen, but one of the greatest defense I've ever seen while on a football field. Ain't no more Legions of Boom walking around. Ravens aren't the Legion of Boom, have the best defense in football. Niners aren't the Legion of Boom. We'll see if their new defensive coordinator can get them there. Cowboys ain't the Legion. Ain't no Legions walking around. Steelers are not the Legion of Boom, and that's where we all think Russ should go. You still think, Joy, that Russ can win? Ain't no Legions, no Earls, no Cams, no Bobbies, no KJs.
Shermans.
No Shermans, no Browners, no Walter Thurmans, no Jeremy Lanes, no Maxwells. Can Russ
That's a deep.
Still
That's a
win?
That's a lot of shout-outs, boy. You could have.
That's a deep.
That's their name.
I should have just gave three or four.
Legion of Boom was cool, huh?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah, like, wow.
Getting crazy.
I mean, Russ only has one playoff win in the last 7 years.
True.
So, win at what level?
Mm.
I think Russ is still an extremely valuable asset as a player in the NFL.
Yeah.
He plays the quarterback position. We've seen him at very high highs.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen him be capable just this past year. So we know quarterbacks that are on the couch for a long time that can come in and contribute, and they're always waiting for that call, and they most of the time get them because it's such a valuable position that people are willing to take you off the couch if the need is there. And what do we know? There's always a need.
Yeah.
The Browns are a perfect example of that this year.
Sure.
So do I think that Russ is capable of carrying a team to the Super Bowl? I think if we're honest with ourselves, Russ never carried a team to the Super Bowl.
No, that's true.
I know. I just heard. That just hurt.
The truth.
That hurt. Yeah. The truth just.
I'm bad. It's Monday.
He just named 15 people on the defense.
I mean, yeah. Like,
I don't just hurt. I don't like saying it. I don't like hearing it. I don't like hearing it. Because it's true.
Full screen, and we just did it.
Because it's
true. We just said it. Yeah. Oh, so I'm the one that said it. All right. But that's what it is. And but I also don't feel like that's a knock. You can also blow it. So you should get credit for not blowing it.
But
you should get credit for getting those wins. It's hard to win a Super Bowl. It's hard to win a Super Bowl and go back to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
So we know what Russ is capable of. We know that he's talented. We know that he's smart. We know that he knows the game of football. That's why that first year in Denver was so confusing for everyone. How can you possibly be this bad? Mm-hmm. We've never seen you be this bad. It should not be this dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. They were just a quarterback away. They had a good defense. How could it all fall apart so quickly? I do think that Russ has a lot left to give the NFL. And I think in the right situation, he can have success. Am I going to sit here and say he's going to carry a team to the Super Bowl? No, because I don't think he's ever carried a team to the Super Bowl. But do I think in the right situation that he can help a team get playoff wins, potentially get to an AFC or NFC championship game, potentially get to a Super Bowl, potentially win a Super Bowl? I can make an argument for a lot of guys that if you're in the right situation, you can. There are examples of this. Nick Foles, and I think that Russell Wilson is obviously better than Nick Foles as throughout his career.
Yeah, of course.
Been.
Yes, no doubt about it.
He's been better than Nick Foles.
Of course.
We're not talking about Nick Foles as a Hall of Famer.
Of course.
We are with Russ. My point is there are situations that I think can work. And for us to sit here and say that there will never be a situation that Russ would end up in where he could have the potential to elevate a team like that, I don't think that's fair for us to say.
Archer, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
I'll Shady, too.
Honestly.
Joy, too. Did we expect too much of Russ?
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Yes. Okay, let's go one at a time. Let's go one at a time.
No.
I will say yes because I think, and I don't say this as a slight to Russ. I like Russ. Russ, you know that. We talked. I think Russ is better in our minds than he ever was in reality. That's why I think we expect too much of him. Think it hurt me when Joy said it because it was true.
Yeah.
Russ never carried the team to a Super Bowl. She's right.
No, she's
he never did. Right. Why do you think there's so much tension between the Legion of Boom, the greats in Seattle, and Russell Wilson? Because the Legion of Boom is like, wait a second. We are Hall of Fame talents, not Hall of Fame careers. We're Hall of Fame talents. Earl Thomas, Hall of Fame talent. Yeah. Cam Chancellor, Hall of Fame talent. Richard Sherman, Hall of Fame talent. Bobby Wagner, Hall of Fame talent. Russell Wilson, Hall of Fame career. It's a difference. And so I think we view Russell Wilson as a Hall of Fame talent when he's going to have a Hall of Fame career. Those are two very different things. So because we viewed Russ as having a Hall of Fame talent, when he showed up in Denver, we thought we were going to get a Hall of Fame talent. You're not getting a Hall of Fame talent. You're getting a Hall of Fame career with good talent to great talent. But a Hall of Fame career, I think we thought too highly of Russ. I don't think Russ was ever a top three QB. He was a top three winner. Top three winner matters, Joy's right. Winning, it counts for something. Don't mess it up. But Russ was never, he was never Pat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Russ was never – remember, Russ was a third-round pick, if I'm not mistaken, for a reason. Mm-hmm. He wasn't supposed to start. Matt Flynn was supposed to start. Mm-hmm. Seahawks traded for Matt Flynn from, I think, Shady to Packers.
Packers.
Traded
Packers.
For the Packers. Packers. Gave him bread. Yeah, signed him as a free agent. Gave him bread. Big bread at the time. You look now, you're like, Acho, that's minuscule money. Uh-huh. Big bread at the time. That's Russ wasn't supposed to start. And Russ ends up starting. Hall of Fame career, not a Hall of Fame talent. We view him as a Hall of Fame talent. That's why, Joy, I think we had too high of expectations. But why? What's your no? The money.
Run me that check to be that bad, please. Like, what do you mean? They paid him a lot of money. They're still going to pay him a lot of money. They're paying him. There are quarterbacks in the league that if a team paid them $39 million right now to play, we would say that's too much money.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be paid that not to play for them.
Those facts.
And then they have $85 million in dead cap. He was there for less than 24 months.
Mm.
They traded multiple picks and players
and players
to Seattle for him.
The players.
So, yeah, with that trade comes some expectations. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're doing a little hindsight here for what we think of Russell Wilson. We were all up here talking about Super Bowls and
that team,
as contenders before they ever played. Our bad, for sure, but we thought very highly of Russell Wilson leaving Seattle. We didn't think it was outrageous that he wanted to leave Seattle. We didn't think he was asking for too much or that he was going to fail at the level he did in the first year or that we'd be having this conversation about him not being there. Remember, we were like, oh, if he wins one Super Bowl in his tenure with the Denver, it's a wild success. Like, and now he's not on the team anymore. So, yes, we said all these things. I don't want to have to make us dig up these receipts, but this is my job as a woman to remember things and keep it categorized. We said all of that, and we said it because we thought he was that good.
It's hilarious because a year ago, I do recall having these conversations. Y'all didn't want to judge Russ yet. I remember Shady and Joy, and I respect you all's patience. Y'all like, hey, he got a long career. He got 5 more years. Like, if he wins a Super Bowl in 25, 26, will we still call it a failure? Y'all know me. I just run to extremes. I was like, Russ is a failure. And you're like, nah, nah, nah. Give it time. Give it time. It's crazy how sobering this is a year later. Shady, final thought, final word to James's question. Like, did we think too much of, did we expect too much of Russ?
I'm going to say no, because you got, like, you talked about the money. But then I look at the Broncos, like, you have a job to do. When you want to pair a player and go out and trade for a player, you got to give them the same thing you see on tape. So, for example, like you talked about all these elite talents, elite Hall of Fame talent. That's the truth to that. But, like, I don't know if Cam's Chancellor would be successful in every other scheme. Mm-hmm. I don't know if Sherman – I think Sherman's a hell of a player, Hall of Fame type player. I don't know if it'd be the same in every other scheme. Mm-hmm. There's certain players that can play in any scheme. I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. But some players that can't. I'm being serious. Some players that can't. So, with Russell – if you watch the way that they use him in Seattle, why you didn't do the same thing with the Broncos? You know what I'm saying? Why you didn't do that? If you want to be this successful, you want to pay all this money, you want the best out of Russ. Give Russ the same opportunity he had in Seattle. Mm-hmm. And they didn't give him that. So, yeah, we expect a lot from Russ, but then I look at some of the Broncos, I expect a lot from them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
John Elway, y'all boys, what we talking about? Shannon Sharp, and y'all ain't get on the call and make some calls, make some talk to these dudes? Got the new management, like, you can't just do this by itself.
Yeah.
Right? Well said. Russ ain't that. Yeah. Lamar Jackson's a great, phenomenal player. He is in a certain scheme that he needs to be successful. Josh Allen's another one. There's only one guy that could do it without nobody, man. It's Patrick Mahomes. And he got Andy Reid.
Got Andy Reid.
Right? So as much as we want to blame Russ, he gets some of that blame. But I give more to blame to the team and the franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want the best out of Russ, give him the best opportunity.
Incredibly well said. It is a day of breaking news. We're witnessing history. You all are watching a historical show. Well, the breaking news doesn't end with Russell Wilson.
Boy.
Jason Kelce, after 13 years with the Philadelphia Eagles, he had a heartfelt, gut-wrenching to watch, emotional retirement speech. 45 minutes. I watched all of it. We'll show you the highlights. That is next, and we will talk about what that retirement means. Don't forget, check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel on SiriusXM, a breaking news caliber day.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Breaking news. I was literally working out this morning on the Fox lot with tears in my eyes. Though they didn't hit the ground, James Jones, they didn't hit the ground. I was watching the retirement of my former teammate, Shady's former teammate, Jason Kelce, a 7-time Pro Bowler, a 6-time first team All-Pro, played 13 years in the National Football League, all with the same team, Super Bowl champ in 2017, went again to the Super Bowl last year, and just take a listen to the man, the legend, Jason Kelce.
I won't forget walking out onto a snowless field before warmups against the Detroit Lions, and then walking out of the tunnel to a blizzard. The Lions in white jerseys blended into the snow so well I could not see the secondary of the defense. And the second half was all LeSean McCoy. He somehow figured out a way to cut on a dime that day, and man, it was incredible to watch.
Shady, you had an illustrious career, but as I look at the statistics right here, your best years were when Jason Kelce was at a center. Your best years. You led the league in rushing touchdowns in 2011, Kelce's rookie year. You led the league in rushing yards a couple years later, Jason Kelce's third year. Jason Kelce, one of the greatest Philadelphia sports athletes ever.
Ever, yeah.
You obviously are as well, Eagles all-time rushing leader. So there's no better person to talk to on today than you, LeSean McCoy. What are your thoughts on Jason Kelce?
Well, first of all, I want to tell Jason Kelce, man, well, I call him Kelce, is congratulations, had a great career. I've been watching it as a teammate of yours and as a fan, man. So I'm so proud for you and your family. I'm happy for you. Okay, on the second note, I want to say this. Imagine a lineman, a center, mm-hmm. right, with people wearing his jersey. Most people don't know what the lineman looked like. Yeah. That's how big he is to Philadelphia. Yeah. And the type of player he is what Philadelphia is reminded who they are, right? You talk about brotherly love. He loves all his teammates.
Yeah.
You see from his speeches, his interviews, he's always talking so highly about his teammates, right? You look at the stuff he's doing on the field. Kelce's one of them guys where he's hurt. I don't care, surgery, injury. I'm not missing a game, Joy Taylor. I'm not doing it. Right? He had that long record of most starts.
Yeah, most consecutive.
Like, that's who he is. And then you talk about how smart he is. There's never been a guy I've been in the room with. Maybe Eric Wood was pretty smart in Buffalo. But Kelce could tell you whatever the defense wanted to do, he knew exactly what they wanted to do. When you talk about making adjustments at halftime, he was part of that conversation with the coaches. And I remember being there like, dang, if I don't know something, hey, Kelce, what I got on this play? And that's the type of bond we really had. Talk about like being with a teammate that we are from two different backgrounds, right? When I, after the game, I'm going to the club. I'm drinking bottles with big chains hanging out when I was a kid. But him, he won't get beer. One of his guys, maybe beer thrown back, and he's going to be on time for work the next day. I'm so happy for this dude. Kelce should be a type of player who they need a statue outside the stadium. Because he stands for what Philadelphia Eagles is all about.
Yeah.
So enjoy your retirement. I'm going to give you one Philadelphia, I guess, story. He got drafted sixth rounder, right? So after like the, this is being honest, after like the third round, I don't ask who we drafted. After the third round, I don't care who it is. You know what I mean? Give me the water boy, whatever. So we drafted him in the sixth round, right? We had a guy named Jamal Jackson, who's the starter for so many years. He did really well. Kelce was here to replace him, kind of. So I remember Andy Reid drafted. I'm like, Andy Reid, we're tight now. Because he didn't talk to rookies, but now I'm a guy now. I say, hey, Big Red, who the hell is this little white dude at center, man? He's my height. He's my size. What are we doing with him? He said, trust me. Do I make mistakes? I said, you're right. Fast forward, we get to camp. Now, he's a rookie. He's not the same Kelce as, like, super confident. He's not talking as much, right? He's a rookie. And he starts. He's playing. I remember the first practice, he was shaky. After he got better and better and better, I started seeing drastic change. I remember going to Coach Randy Reed, like, hey, you was right. We need him. And all my special plays, I'm either going behind Jason Peters.
Yeah.
Or I'm going behind Jason Kelce.
No question.
And that's how good Kelce was. And since then, I've never seen a center as good as him since I left Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So enjoy your retirement, brother. I'll be calling you.
Kelce was amazing. One of the things I take the greatest pride in, because I've oftentimes, like Shady has alluded to, like, you're a six-round pick, you're a practice squad guy, you're on the roster, which is what I inevitably was. Like, what role do you have on a team? But as a practice squad guy, which I was either the backup linebacker on practice squad, you're giving the first-team offense, LeSean McCoy and Jason Kelce, their looks. Most importantly, you're giving Jason Kelce the look as a practice squad linebacker. But my favorite Jason Kelce memory, it isn't on the field. It was off the field. 2016-2-5, I was headed to a Super Bowl party. The Super Bowl was in San Francisco that year, is at Levi Stadium. I'm headed to a Super Bowl party. It's about 12:20 a.m. I'm walking in. Jason Kelce and our former teammate, one of Kelce's close friends, Connor Barwin, are walking out. I was a practice squad cat. I started like five games in Philadelphia, played in maybe 30, whatever the case may be. So I'm like, those are the stars. They don't even know me. Mm-hmm. I don't even speak to them.
Yeah.
I'm walking this way. They're walking that way. I'm not even going to speak to Kelce or speak to Connor because I'm like, they the big dogs. Yeah. Who am I? I walk by him. Kelce looks at me. Acho, look over. Get the hell over here. I say, what up, bro? He said, you're always my teammate. And that hit me in that moment because I was like, you still playing at the highest of high levels. I was on a squad for 3 years. I was just giving you looks. I wasn't even going to bother wasting your time by stopping you as I'm walking into this club that you're walking out of. But he said, get the hell over here. And he checked me and said, bro, you always my teammate. Cut to last year after the Eagles lost the Super Bowl. I'm on the field. And I walk over to Kelce. Confetti's falling on his head as he's looking for his brother Travis with tears in his eyes. And I look at him and I just say, hey, bro, I love you, bro. Mm-hmm. And we had a moment on the field with the confetti, the red and the yellow confetti for Chiefs falling on Jason Kelce's head with tears in his eyes. And I just hit him on the chest two times. I said, I love you, brother. He said, I love you too, man. And so, like Shady said, he embodies brotherly love.
Yeah.
He embodies being a teammate. But even more than that, six-time first-team All-Pro, he embodies just being a dude.
Mm-hmm.
Just a dude.
Yeah, yeah. Get his jacket ready.
Yeah.
You know, well done, ready. Brother. But get his jacket ready because he will be a Hall of Famer. I just truly don't think people understand how hard it is to play the center position.
Sheesh.
You got a 300-pounder in front of you. You're the only guy that has to hike that ball. It's possibly going to be in the gun a lot of the times. You got to make sure to snap on point, and then you got to block somebody up front. And this dude, like Shady said, didn't miss games, was there every game. And people don't understand, besides the quarterback, he is the quarterback of the offense. If he is not playing well or he's not communicating with everybody, making sure everybody's on point, no play is going to be successful. LeSean McCoy going to have to play every game like he was in the snow, making a bunch of people miss because the play is not going to be successful if Jason Kelce does not put his guys in the right position to be successful. So The center position is so hard to play. He did it at a very, very high level. You talk about six-time All-Pro. We ain't talking no Pro Bowls or nothing. We're talking six-time All-Pro. That's the best in the game at that time, year after year after year. And then you just talk about some of the offenses and some of the players that he blocked for. Shady, 17 touchdowns in 2011, rushing most in Eagles history. 1,600 in 2013, most in Eagles history. Then you got 160 rushing yards per game, most since 1950. Carson Wentz, 33 passing touchdowns with him blocking under center. 41 points, 538 yards in the biggest game in the world in the Super Bowl to take home a ring. Jason Kelce was the center of the Philadelphia Eagles. A lot to be proud of, my man. Well-deserved Hall of Fame career. Like I said, you might lose a little pounds not playing no more. Definitely right way for your jacket, brother.
I was going to say, it's now, but it might be a little slimmer in 5 years. You know,
no doubt.
A little loose. I think what's really remarkable about his career and what I really enjoy as a football fan is we focus a lot on the quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. We focus a lot in the skill positions. We focus a lot on explosive defensive plays. Yeah. The offensive line, we don't care nothing about the offensive line until they mess up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't mention their names. Yeah. We don't give them no love. But when they ain't there, when Trent Williams isn't there, oh, I'm going to do with this offensive line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When he messes up, oh, it's all falling apart. So they don't matter until they matter.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about Kelce is not only does he have an incredible career and accolades and longevity and influence on other players that you all mentioned, but we know his name. And I think that's important because when we talk about this game, we do overlook things. It's why whenever we talk about the Patriots dynasty, and I mentioned Dante Scarnecchia, having a solid offensive line mm-hmm. for almost two decades, that matters. It just does. It's such an important part of success. When we bring in rookie quarterbacks and they have terrible offensive lines, we almost always just give them a pass. What are they supposed to do? Yeah. It's hard for experienced quarterbacks to have success when the offensive line isn't great. So everything about what he is so important to the game of football. His name, his, you know, people's sexiest man alive, his personality, the beers, the podcast.
And he can sing.
There it is.
His voice.
Got his own CD out.
He's so much more than just a great player. I think his influence on football is really special and important. And as a fan, I love that we know his name. I love that fans are buying his jersey. I love that he's such a big part of, not obviously what he's done on the field, but the culture of football as an offensive lineman is important because we do not properly distribute the affection, the attention, or the praise mm-hmm. to everyone on the field. Yeah. Because we know the quarterback touches the ball the most. He probably has the most influence. But as you just said, the second guy is the other one that touches the ball the most, and that's the center. So he's had an incredible career, deserves all the praise that he's getting, and I think he's really important to the culture and the landscape of football.
I will say this, though. That next center for the Philadelphia Eagles, he in trouble. One bad snapshot. knowing that Jason Kelce been there so many years playing at a high level, he in trouble.
I will say that it can't be forgotten that Kelce has been a part of every meaningful offensive season, single season record for the Eagles.
That's crazy.
2011, Shady, most touchdowns in a season for the Eagles. Kelce was a center. 2013, most rushing yards by a player, LeSean McCoy. Kelce was a center.
Crazy.
2018, Zach Ertz, he had the most receptions for a season. Jason Kelce was a center. 2019, Carson Wentz had the most passing yards for a season. Jason Kelce was a center. 2022, A.J. Brown had the most receiving yards for a season. Jason Kelce was a center. If you look up any meaningful or substantial offensive statistic in Eagles history, Jason Kelce, he was there for it. When we return, the breaking news, Russell Wilson, maybe the worst trade in the history of the National Football League, and it is occurring today. It is a historical day in sports. You're watching a historical show, maybe a trade that you will be talking to your kids, your grandkids, their kids about. Russell Wilson's tenure in Denver, it is done. But what's next for Russ? Can he help lead a team to a Super Bowl? Some think he can. That's next on Speak. We have to get back to the breaking news that is in Denver, y'all. Russell Wilson, no longer a Denver Bronco. Remember, just 2 years ago, the Broncos, they gave up 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, along with an excess amount of players. Russell Wilson, $124 million he will be given for less than 2 years of work in Denver. The Broncos gave him a 5-year, $242 million deal on March 16th of 2022. Today is March 4th of 2024, and we find out that Russell Wilson will no longer be a part of the Broncos. I say that this is historical because I always recall hearing about some of the worst trades in the history of football. I mentioned this a moment ago. Growing up in Dallas, many times people talk about the Herschel Walker trade. Cowboys, they give up Herschel Walker and 4 picks. The Vikings, in return, give the Cowboys 3 first-round picks, 3 second-round picks. The Cowboys, they build the dynasty, one of the most notable dynasties in the history of all sports, off the back of that trade. But now there's a Russell Wilson trade. That is a trade that many Denver Broncos fans, I'm sure, regret participating and being complicit in. James Jones, Russell Wilson, he played at a good level this year. 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He had 4 game-winning drives. That's the most game-winning drives he's had in his career, dating back to his Super Bowl years. He played at a high level, but he only had 7 wins and 8 losses to show for it. Should teams be interested in this man, Russell Wilson?
Teams, no. It's one team that Russell Wilson should be going to, and that is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are the only team that's built the way Russell Wilson has been used to winning with. They're the only team. Russell Wilson stood up there and he's told Brandon Marshall, I want to win not one but 2 more championships. You're not doing that at the Atlanta Falcons. You're not doing that at the Washington Commanders. That's not going to happen. Those are rebuild situations. So if you're asking me, there's no teams. It is one team. And it's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And that is the only team, Mike Tomlin and the Pittsburgh Steelers, that probably should be reaching out to Russell Wilson. You're going to be able to get him at whatever price you want to get him at because he's already making $39 million. But everything is there. A really good defense, which they're always going to have, and really good playmakers on the offensive side of the ball. George Pickens, Deontay Johnson, you could go down the list with what they have on the offensive side of the ball. And that is what Russ is used to playing with in Seattle when he had all those that success winning football games. Not necessarily statistics-wise, but winning football games.
Should teams be interested, Joy?
Teams, for sure. Teams. Now, to James's point, I don't think it's going to work, but one thing about the NFL, they're always going to convince themselves that they can make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Oh, the player wasn't good. He just wasn't good there. He'll be good with us. We could fix him, girl. We'll make it work. Because they've seen what he's capable of.
Yeah.
We've seen him at his highs, and those highs are very interesting. Even guys that haven't had super high highs. How many opportunities did Carson Wentz get?
A lot. Still getting them.
As he should, because we saw a little bit of a high.
Yeah, he's big.
Russ is going to have teams calling, and they should be calling. But I agree with James. The place that makes the most sense is Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is built the way that Seattle was built. Obviously, they do not have the Legion of Boom, as we've gone over many times. That's going to be nearly impossible to duplicate. It may never happen again. It's been a while since we've seen a truly generational defense that has been named, and the nickname actually stuck. They got a name, they kept it, and when you say it, we know exactly who was on that team, exactly what they played like, and the respect is there. We don't have that right now. But what you do have is Mike Tomlin. So maybe you don't have Legion of Boom, but Mike Tomlin comes with a certain level of respect. We know what he's going to bring to the table. We know how he builds teams. We know how his defense is played. We know what the culture is. And we know that they are winners. Mm. And when you're in a building with winners, as you all have been, it feels a little different than when you're in a team that's just kind of trying to figure it out, that's trying to figure out what the process is, what's the standard, how do we practice, what do meetings look like, what is the energy like in the building. You don't have to worry about any of that. So I do think there are teams that should be interested in Russ because there's plenty of teams that need an upgrade at quarterback. But the team that makes the most sense on both sides, which is something that Denver probably didn't think all the way through, does this work for us? Does this work for him? And so often in these situations, because teams are desperate, they take swings at situations that aren't really set up for the player to be successful, and they're not set up to be successful with that player. So I think the Pittsburgh is the one that makes the most sense, but a lot of teams should be calling.
Shady, I got a lot of thoughts. I'll lead with this one. Oftentimes, and we don't talk enough about it in the NFL, or at least people who cover the NFL, Are you worth the talent? Is a distraction worth the talent? So often people would ask me, hey, Acho, what's your thoughts on Kaepernick, man? What's your thoughts on Kaepernick? You don't think he can still play?
Mm-mm.
I'm like, this was five or so years ago.
Say no?
No, the 5 or so years ago, I was like, he's better than some of the 64 best quarterbacks in the NFL. But I was like, Cap's just not worth the distraction. Mm. He's not worth the distraction. Acho, man, why are you so mad at the Jags signing Tim Tebow on a roster? Because he's not worth the distraction.
Mm.
You know, is he as good as maybe some backup tight end? Maybe, but he's not worth the distraction. Insert Russell Wilson, obviously better than Colin Kaepernick, obviously better than Tim Tebow, but a big distraction, Shady McCoy. Doesn't matter, good or bad. Like, Tebow wasn't a bad distraction. He's just a distraction. That's what I tell people. It doesn't matter, good or bad. He's just a distraction. Russ, the whole Sean Payton dilemma was, Russ, stop kissing all these babies. Stop doing all, it was good stuff that Russ was doing. He was good stuff that Sean Payton was mad at him for doing, not to Sean Payton. So I guess what I would ask you then, Shady, is like, should teams still be interested in Russell Wilson, all things considered?
Yeah, I don't look at Russ as a distraction. I look at like a Kaepernick, he had a lot going on, right? That's more of a distraction, good or bad, however you may see it. A guy like Cam Newton, right?
Yeah.
He could be distracted because he had a big personality,
yes,
right?
Yeah. You know, same thing, well said. Up.
Yeah, that could be. But Russ, I mean, he don't get on the podium and say all good things. You know, we lose the game by 50 points. God loves us all. We'll have an opportunity tomorrow, right? That ain't really a distraction. So I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to say why he should get another shot and a team should want it is because I see all these average quarterbacks get chances. Yeah. Let's keep it real. Like, what's your guy from Philadelphia? I mean, he's
that Wentz?
Carson. Yeah. I couldn't believe he kept getting starting jobs. Like, he's starting again? How? Did you not see enough on tape? He's another guy that gets time after time. Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr is a solid quarterback, but like, I mean, God, he got that many opportunities to keep starting. So these are guys where I see, why can't Russell get another shot? You talk about the Steelers. I think that's listen, after I get off this show, I'm going to lay some money down that he goes to the Steelers because it's a perfect matchup.
Yeah.
You got a team, they win games with the bare minimum at the quarterback position.
Sure.
Right? Offensively, they can't put no stats up. Defense be killing it, balling, and then the special teams somehow makes plays, and they win. And every year they're battling to get in the playoffs with no quarterback.
Yeah.
I feel like Russell Wilson had the way he played this year, you bring that to the Steelers. Mm-hmm. They're going to win some games. Yeah. They're going to be in some good games, some good dog fights, some playoff games, some playoff wins, because they're not asking them to do everything. They're not asking them to save the franchise. They had a really, really good coach in Mike Tomlin that has his players prepared. The defense, you already know what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, they're going to run the ball, get some better offensive linemen, and then you might have a shot with Russell Wilson. So I'm going to say teams should want Russ, right? But it got to be under the right situation, right? I hate when players, when they get cut or they get traded, released, whatever, they can't wait to get to a new team just to go there. Nah, go to the right scheme. Go to the right thing that fits you. If you go to a team that fits Russell like the Seahawks did, go to the Steelers, that'd be a perfect matchup for Russ.
Are we forgetting, though, James, enjoy the human element? Joy, you were covering the sport at the time. We were all playing it earlier on. But why didn't Russ want to be in Seattle? Let's not forget, Russ wanted more credit. That's why what Russ wanted. He wanted more credit. The Legion of Boom got the attention publicly. Inside the locker room, the Legion of Boom was mad because Russ got paid and they didn't get paid. But publicly, the Legion got the attention. Russ never got an MVP vote. Remember, yeah. Russ said, I don't just want to vote. I want to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Let Russ cook. That became a mantra. So what everybody here is suggesting, which I think we're forgetting the human element, is y'all are suggesting that Russ should want to go to a situation that he wanted to leave.
Yeah.
Y'all keep talking about the Steelers' defense, the Steelers' young weapons, the Steelers' coach. Russ had a defense. He had young weapons. He had a coach. He wanted to be the man, at least publicly. I haven't talked to Russ privately about this, but publicly. So, James, when you consider the human element, doesn't it seem like you're suggesting a situation that Russ literally asked to get out of just 2 years ago?
Yeah, you know they always say in the National Football League, right, when you have the upper hand, get your bread, right? That's what they say, right? If you played really, really well, get your money if you're a free agent. Who cares if they think you're the 10th best quarterback, 10th best running back? Go get your money, right? When Russ asked for that trade, Russ was that dude. Mm. And that's why everybody that's looking at the trade was like, cool. Everybody was excited. That's all they had to give up for Russ to get him over here. They got defense playmakers. They going to the Super Bowl. He's not in that situation no more. Russell Wilson, to piggyback off Shady's point, has to go to a really good situation. Russell Wilson is looking at having another bad year if he goes to the Commanders or Falcons or something and not being in the league. So you better find a situation to where you can go out there and really ball and kind of revive your career and let people know that you still can win in this league. The only place you're going to do that at a high level and have a chance to make the playoffs and compete in the playoffs, in my humble opinion, is Pittsburgh. But it's a totally different situation right now. Russ is going to be going from 200 and some million to rookie minimum.
Yeah.
So you ain't really got too much say-so in this thing. Come out here and play ball.
Joy. But even when he left Seattle, their defense wasn't good.
No.
Right?
The Legion,
it wasn't the Legion of Boom. They was done.
Long done.
It was, so, yeah, I want to get out of here. When I got popping is when you had a good defense over there and I was cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not cooking. They not balling. I got a roll. So I was cool with him leaving there.
I guess, Joy, final thought, and I'll lay it up for you. You mentioned something about 20 minutes ago. You said Russ has one playoff win in the last 7 years. Fact. If I'm not mistaken, I think the Steelers have one playoff win in the last 7 years. Y'all know math. One divided by seven times one divided by seven. It don't get better.
Ain't good.
So when you think about the Steelers, they're always competitive, but they haven't gotten over the hump out of late. Russell Wilson, he's good, but he hasn't gotten over the hump out of late. Why would kind of the same storyline want the same storyline, and we anticipate that that will make a better storyline? Like, breakdown as a Steelers fan, which you have grown up being and you still are to this day, as a Steelers fan, why would you think Russ could work in Pittsburgh?
Because what Russ brings, Pittsburgh needs. And what Pittsburgh has, Russ needs.
Yeah.
So the math has finally been chopped and screwed
like
to match up. But 1-7, 1-7 equals yes.
That's it.
This is what you need. And as far as like the ego goes and the money goes and all that, that was then, this is now.
Yeah.
The world is different for Russell Wilson than it was in 2022. A lot can happen and it happens fast. The league does, the world does, whatever. All of it has gone down.
Yeah.
So it sounds good that you want to go to a place and you be the man and drag a team and be the one who gets all the credit. Who cares? We're going to give you credit regardless, because we've seen this Pittsburgh team be there, be there, be there, be there, but not have the quarterback to get them over the edge. And we've seen Russ play well enough to be a starter in this league and get cut. I know we all know some billionaires up here, right? Mm-hmm. What do billionaires really prefer not to do?
Lose money.
Waste money. That's why they're billionaires. Mm. They're not super interested in paying someone almost $40 million to not do the job that we're writing you this check
crazy.
For. So you got to be really convinced that
that's
this
crazy.
Is not the guy in order to do that. So in a realistic world where we are putting up the things that you need and what I need, this is a match. And I think for multiple reasons, whether this is exactly like it was in Seattle, it's not. Yeah. The Pittsburgh organization is not Seattle, respectfully. And that's not a diss to Seattle, who's had a lot of success as of late. This is a team that is very much aware of what it takes to win championships. And they are right there every single year with what at quarterback? So I think it's a great matchup.
And not only that, they're going to be on the hook for $1.2 million. Let Russ get out there tripping. Go pick it. He out. You're not on the hook for no money. Everything is matching up for him to go to Steelers. It's a win-win.
It will
win-win.
Be fascinating to see. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, the phenom out of USC, he is shaking up the sports world, ruffling a lot of feathers. The NFL Combine is taking place over this past weekend, but Caleb Williams decided to sit out from just about everything.
That's right.
What are the concerns we have for Caleb Williams? This is no small deal, what he is doing, and we'll discuss it all next on Speak. Caleb Williams, college superstar, phenom. He was at the scouting combine this weekend. But y'all, he didn't participate in anything. He did about as much as I did, and I was at home. He's believed to be the first invitee to attend the event after declining the medical exams. Now, there are reports that teams have questioned if Caleb is being pulled in too many directions. Here's the crazy thing about Caleb. Caleb didn't do any of the medical testing. He said, look, I can't be drafted by all 32 teams. So why would I do the medical testing for all 32 teams for contests at the NFL Combine? Context, NFL Combine, they'll strap you up, do an EKG test, so do a stress test on your heart. They will run you through any and every MRI machine. They might do a neurological exam. They will check for any fractures. They will check for any sprains. They will check for any tears. If you have suggested to them previously that you have had an injury, they will check your ankles. They will check your toes. They will check your hands. They will quite literally check everything, see if you have any degenerative joints, see if you have any unequal balance in your limbs, just so they can find reason to knock you. Caleb said, nah, y'all ain't doing nothing with me. Y'all ain't checking none of that with me. But James, you got any issues, any concerns, any questions around Caleb Williams, because he is quite literally bucking all of these standard trends.
It's crazy, man, as you say that, because, I mean, I was thinking I probably should have opted out the medical, too, because they woke me up at 6 o'clock in the morning, they stretching you, they doing all that, and they said, you got to go get an MRI on your hip for what? It's 6 o'clock in the morning. I just woke up. So I feel him on that. But for me, when you turn the tape on this young fella, there's nothing the tape is going to say where you're like, ooh, I can't draft him. I think the main thing with him is he that type of leader? Is he that type of guy that you want running your organization, that you want to be the face of your franchise for 10-plus years to come? I think that's the only question on Caleb Williams. When you turn the tape on, you're going to get everything you need. You're going to get Patty plays. You're going to get Aaron Rodgers plays. You're going to get Lamar Jackson plays. You're going to get everything you possibly need. I think the one question is, how is this guy as a leader? When you hear him talk, he wants part of organizations. He's opting out of everything. I mean, this is the first time any player. It's been a lot of guys that came out of college that played at an extremely high level, won Heismans and all that, that did not opt out of the medical part. And when I just hear him talk, it kind of comes off like, it's all about me, and that's all I care about. That's kind of how it comes off. So at the end of the day, he has a right to do that and talk like that because of what he put on the football field. But for me, as an organization, whichever you're going to take him, which is going to be number one, whoever it is, trade, Bears, whoever, that, is that what you're willing to take?
Shady has no response as it stands. Joy, where do you stand on this? Caleb Williams, he's ruffled a lot of feathers. You have any issue?
I mean, look, I understand, guys. The regular season's over, the postseason's over, Super Bowl's over. We're not quite to March Madness yet. You know, we have a couple stories bubbling in the NBA, but we haven't quite got to the draft. It's dark times, right? For everybody. But I'm just going to say it. It's going to sound dramatic. Caleb Williams is going to be the first overall pick in the NFL draft. No matter how much we talk about any of this, his name is going to be the first name called at the NFL draft. You can talk about the medical exams. You can talk about the combine, how many push-ups he did, if he jumped in the stands, if he didn't. It doesn't matter. He's going number one overall. We're looking for things to discredit this young man before he gets to the NFL, and him using whatever leverage he has to put himself in the position that is most ideal for him is exactly what he should do. It is exactly what I would do. It is exactly what I would advise any young person to do, because there are very few times in your career where you will have leverage. Leverage is a very important word.
True.
It's a very important word. And what it means is they got to listen to you, whether they like it or not. Mm. And you should use all of it.
Preach.
Who cares what someone says about how you wear your hair or what agent you use or if you do the medical exams? Because at the end of the day, Caleb knows, I know, you know, we know, they know, you know. Caleb Williams is going to be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, as he should be.
But here's why I think it does matter. Why it matters. It doesn't matter because he'll likely go drafted number one, though I do encourage y'all to continue watching our show when we discuss Caleb Williams.
Yes,
I do encourage that.
He's still going number one overall.
But why I think it does matter is because sometimes you can read into some of those things. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the Cleveland Browns probably wish they would have read into some of the Johnny Manziel issues a little bit deeper. I'm sure the Arizona Cardinals, at least Cliff Kingsbury, probably wishes he would have examined Kyler Murray a little bit deeper. Now, Cam Newton, he had a lot of stuff coming out of college, but Cam Newton still became Cam Newton. So the Browns, maybe they wish, maybe they didn't, that they would have examined Baker Mayfield a little bit deeper. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, all coached by Lincoln Riley. Caleb Williams, coached by Lincoln Riley. So though he will still be drafted number one, I do think you can garner some information by how these prospects carry themselves leading up into the draft.
I hear you. And for all of those guys, you're right. But Johnny Manziel is not Caleb Williams.
No.
Baker Mayfield is not Caleb Williams. Kyler Murray, not Caleb Williams. So while I hear you on all those guys, and you're absolutely right, and to be honest, we had lots of questions about all of those guys. And that a lot of those questions turned out to be answers right away. They did play a role in the success and failures that we've seen throughout those guys' careers. But Caleb Williams doesn't have issues. What is an issue? What is the issue here? That's my question.
Yeah, my only question would be, how does Caleb handle adversity? That's my only question. Because on the football field, Caleb Williams had much less adversity than most players have. Oklahoma, you're not the guy. Spencer Rattler's the guy. Spencer Rattler in the 2021 season was the Heisman favorite at Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler started struggling. Caleb Williams took over instantly. Boom. Yeah. Winning. Oklahoma, they win 11 games. Caleb Williams dominates. Caleb Williams leaves. He goes to USC. Boom. Winning. Wins a Heisman. First Heisman at USC since, like, Reggie Bush or Matt Leinart, somewhere along the lines. Then Caleb Williams the next year at USC adversity. Adversity on the field with Notre Dame. Adversity, I think you lose to Washington. You jump into the stands. That's when, you know, his mom cradles him and whatnot. Then after the game, he says, I just want to go cuddle with my dogs, amongst other things, watch Netflix and chill, if you will. So my only question for Caleb is, how does he handle adversity? That's my only question. How does he handle adversity on the field?
I guess you won't know until we see him playing in the NFL. Because how would you know that? I'll say this. The way we speaking on Caleb Williams is like, we, as players, we come in the league as workers. He's coming in as a boss. Why I gotta show you my medical records? I'm the best player in the draft. You want me, right? Y'all want me. So why would I give you my, for what? For who? I'm the best player in the draft. The NIL deals and all that, I'm making money.
Yes, he is.
You came into the league trying to take care of your family, right?
No question.
I don't know if you was, because, you know, y'all got some money, y'all got good education on that. Yeah. I was trying to take care of my family. You know what I mean? I don't know how Jason was. Yeah. I'm coming in. Whatever you need me to do, coach,
that's
I'm doing.
I'm with you.
All them exams, you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you got some people you don't even know grabbing your arm, stretching you out.
Yeah.
You feel like an object.
Yeah. True.
But I'm going to do whatever I got to do to get this money. 100%. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
my family got taken care of, right? Mm. I got a big contract.
Good point.
Right? As a college player, yeah, I'm going to NFL. Listen, I don't care about the contract. No, I want some equity in the franchise. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. I love everything he's doing because he's showing you, yo, you can be powerful. We don't even know it. Mm. As a player at 20 years old, I couldn't wait to get in the NFL. Whatever you want me to do, I'm doing. He's not doing that. And he's coming in there as a businessman like, no, y'all want my time because I'm that good. So y'all gonna operate the way I want you to operate. Muhammad Ali is one of my favorite athletes of all time. He always says this. I'm going to be the champ the way I want to be the champ, not the way y'all want me to be the champ. And in the NFL, they hate when they can't control you.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that for a second, though. All these contracts, the way they put the word in for you, do this, do that.
Yeah, it's true.
He don't have to go through that. And I hope that now on, you see more players taking that route. Because now, not only the top player in the draft is going to do it, maybe that second-round draft pick that's really, really good. He might not be super special, but he's good enough that every team might want to take a look at him. And he's going to operate the same way. Now, as a player, you take some of that power back. Right? It's the same thing in the NBA. Right? Because at one point in time, they was following the rules, whatever you want them to do. Right? So they start getting that power. Now, okay, let's see how LeBron James wants to approach this.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Paul, let's talk about it. Steph Curry, how you want to do things? That's the new day and age. Now we're going to do things. So I love what Kenny Williams is doing. Keep doing what you got to do, brother. You controlling your own destiny, and you're writing your own narrative. And everybody can write what they want to write. You don't want to do this, you won't do that. But you control what you do, and I love it.
It is.
Well said. Well, speaking of LeBron James, the Lakers and LeBron, they just trying to get right. Another devastating loss. Now, 8 losses in a row to the reigning champion Denver Nuggets. What does the latest loss mean for LeBron's Lakers? Are the Lakers just wasting LeBron James' time? Is LeBron wasting the Lakers' time? Is this all for nothing? That's next on Speak. Family, turn your volume up. We got to talk about the Lakers, and this hurts my heart because if you have been watching, the Lakers are so close but so far away from a championship. They played the Nuggets once again, the reigning champs this past weekend, and they lost by 10 points. By 10, bringing us on camera. Everybody knows LeBron James. He had 40,000 points. Shout out to LeBron for getting to 40K. Incredibly, incredibly, incredibly impressive. But, Joy, like I said last week, meaningless. The Lakers are wasting time. They're wasting my time. They're wasting your time, wasting your time, Shady. But most importantly, they're wasting LeBron James' time. They're wasting LeBron's time because LeBron doesn't play to play. LeBron plays to win championships, at least compete for championships. Been to 10 NBA Finals, family. He's not getting close. They've lost 8 consecutive times, Joy, to the Nuggets. 8 consecutive times. They are not close to beating the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. And like I said last week, when the Lakers beat the Clippers on the back of LeBron James' 19-point fourth quarter, when he outscored the Clippers by themselves, it was the same game. We've watched the Lakers play the exact same game 4 consecutive times. Against the Suns, LeBron James balled. They didn't have enough. That was last week, Sunday. Then against the Clippers, LeBron James, he gives you 19 points, 5 threes in the fourth quarter. They barely had enough. Shout out to Paul George for not playing. Thus, the Lakers could inevitably win. Against the Wizards, AD balled out, and the Lakers in overtime found a way to win. And then against the Nuggets 2 days ago, same Lakers performance. But against the Nuggets, they didn't win because the Nuggets are good. The Phoenix Suns are good. You play the Wizards, they're no good. And you play the late Clippers without Paul George, they're no good. I'm disappointed, Joy, in these Lakers because we watching the same thing that's wasting time. When I watched that game, I realized Lakers ain't getting to nobody's finals. But what did the Lakers loss to the Nuggets mean to you?
It means the Nuggets are better, which we already knew. That's not news. You just said they lost eight straight to them. The Nuggets look like they are building a dynasty. They are the big dogs of the NBA. The Lakers aren't that. But wasting time, like, what do you want? What do you want LeBron? What do you want them to do? Like, you gonna trade LeBron to the Nuggets?
But Joy, you remember we were doing this show a year ago. We were doing the show a year ago. Shady was right there. I was right here. You were to my left. And after LeBron James lost to the Nuggets, him and AD, they had a heart to heart. Remember at the podium, they had a whole heart to heart. And then they said, we have to retool our roster in order to compete with the Nuggets. Mm-hmm. All the acquisitions the Lakers made this offseason, both the deep bench acquisitions and getting more size, was to try to stop the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Yet again. Mm-hmm. You've lost eight straight. So to me, Joy, I can't say so flippantly they're not better than the Nuggets. Because the whole offseason was to be better than the Nuggets.
But ain't nobody better than the Nuggets. Who better than the Nuggets?
You could at least argue by record some teams. At least you could say to OKC. You could say to Timberwolves. You could say to Celtics.
Say it with your chest,
like Jokic is over here.
For real, exactly. Jokic is standing right there, moving over to this, and pick up that cup. Say it like that. We know the Nuggets are what they are. Look, the Lakers are not a whole lot different than they were last year.
Correct.
Which means if they are that, then they're capable of going very far in the playoffs. They still have two of the top players in the NBA.
True.
LeBron James hasn't slowed down, as you mentioned. AD is capable on any given night of giving you a big night. They have some pieces around you, around the roster that can contribute. They have a lot of experience. They are what they are. I really don't feel like I learned a lot. It was disappointing because it was just like this the whole game. It was a very exciting game.
Yes.
On top of the fact that it was a game where he reached that benchmark. It was an exciting game and it fell apart at the end defensively. That's what they do. Who's doing that to the Nuggets?
But they do it shady to everybody in my mind. Against the Suns, it was the same thing, y'all. LeBron went crazy against the Suns. Fell apart at the end. Against the Clippers, LeBron had to go crazy, and y'all realize they almost fell apart at the end. So, Shady, I feel like I'm watching the same freaking thing over and over when you watch the game, when you digest the Lakers. You know ball,
I mean, you asking me, like, the difference from the loss is it's the same team. Like, the Nuggets are it's a lot better. They swept them last year in the Western Conference Finals for a reason. So, I will say this, though. It's all about matchups. Maybe somebody can knock out the Nuggets, and then they might have a shot.
That really has to be the hope at this point in time. James, after the break, I want to focus on LeBron's son, Bronny, because the reports at first were that Bronny was going to go 17th in this year's draft. Those were the mock drafts. Yeah. Then they moved him from this year, 2024 NBA draft, to the 25 NBA draft. LeBron James commented and said, won't you let the kid be a kid?
Yeah.
However, LeBron said it was a year ago that wherever Bronny goes, I'm going.
Yeah.
So break down the Bronny saga, and if you think Bronny should declare for the draft on the other side of this commercial break. I can't wait for those thoughts. It's been interesting. And you a father. You got kids.
I got
your kids,
Bronny.
Play ball.
No doubt.
All right, James, we talked about it before the break. LeBron said he wants to play with his son, Bronny, but Bronny in SC right now, not having a stellar campaign. I think 2 points, 2 points, 0 points, 2 points in his last four or so ball games. Agent Rich Paul says he is expected to make his choice on this year's NBA draft based on specific team interest, not based on draft position, and that he doesn't need to play with his father, LeBron James, the one that we all know and are fond of. James Jones, you got two kids. They both play ball following your footsteps, if you will. Both play football. Yeah. So you tell me this. Is this the right time for Bronny to enter the NBA draft?
You know what's crazy is Shady brought up a good point, right? I was playing for something.
Is it crazy that Shady brought up a good point?
No,
I was just wondering. I don't know if you're saying it's crazy that Shady brought up.
No, I was playing for something totally different than my kids were playing for. I was playing to take care of my family, being a homeless kid and all that, growing up homeless. I was playing to do that, right? So when I look at my kids, I was a third round pick. I was not able to walk across the stage and hold up a jersey. That's all I want for them. When I'm out there training with them night in, night out, yelling at them, and the wife like, ease up on them. No. I know what it takes to get there because I did really well, and I didn't even hold that jersey up. That's my goal for them. So for me, when I look at LeBron, obviously, they not pressed about no money. They not pressed about none of that. All he cares about is playing for his son. But if it's really about Bronny, Bronny should stay in college. Because if it's about Bronny, right now he is not up there to be no top pick, which means his name is not going to be called. So to me, that's not what's best for Bronny. If that's one of Bronny's goals, he's always going to be able to play with his dad. He's going to the NBA, whether we like it or not. He has James on the back of his jersey. Whether we like it or not, he's going to the NBA. First round, second round, he's going, right? LeBron James is his dad. That is going to happen. But if we're talking about Bronny James going to the NBA now, where he would get drafted, who knows? No, he should not come out. He's not even labeled to be a lottery pick. He should not come out if it's about Bronny. If it's about Pops and playing with Pops, what everybody's been talking about, then yes, because it's actually a better situation. You might not be a lottery pick. You might be able to pick where you want to go. I promise you right now, the Los Angeles Lakers, no matter what, if Bronny's there, they are going to take Bronny to put him there to play with his dad. If it's about LeBron. If it's about Bronny, the young fella should stay in college. He should play one more year. He should get stronger. He should get better. And then he should come out and be a lottery pick. Shady said it. Bron gonna play for about 5 more years. I don't care what nobody's saying. That's just how Bron is built. He's going to have a chance to play with Bronny. But if it's what's best for Bronny, Bronny should stay in school for one more year.
It's one of the most fascinating storylines in all of sports, and we will keep you all up to date on it. But today is the breaking news that Russell Wilson is no longer a Denver Bronco. Just 2 years into a 5-year, $242 million deal, the Denver Broncos announced they are releasing Russell Wilson as soon as possible. That's on the 13th of March. We're going to respond. Best landing spot for us next. Breaking news, family. The day that's really shocked the world, and not shocked, Joy Taylor at least, shocked me. Russell Wilson, he's no longer a Denver Bronco. He will be paid $39 million this year to not play for the Broncos. He'll make $124 million over 2 years based upon that deal. James Jones, best landing spot for us.
39 M's. He could sit on the couch for 39 M's if he wanted to.
Yes, sir.
Pittsburgh, man.
Pittsburgh.
412. See, these are my old notes. Russell Wilson, I think they already have.
Shady McCoy, good spot.
I'm going Steelers also.
Yeah. I'm going with the New England Patriots. Less expectations.
Less expectations?
Because we all think the Steelers will win.
That when the show over.
No, we think the Steelers will win with Russ.
No, we might lose back tomorrow.
Even if Russ goes to New England.
The Super Bowl.
A-block
he's doing that in New England.
He can't go to the Steelers, bro. Hey, Ray's having his next.